Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to GetRoman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. From April 29th to May 4th, if you deposit on Underdog Fantasy, you'll have a chance to win $1 million in their best ball contest. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's Underdog.com, UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Okay, and welcome everyone to a Tuesday morning edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast, Tuesday, May 4th, 10:55 Eastern Time. It's your host, ZB, and I'm joined by Muna for a Tuesday show. Dan obviously couldn't make it today. We miss him. I understand you guys had a great show yesterday. We were chatting before the show. I was a little too excited, so I had to make sure we got it all on the record for the listeners. Muna, how are you, bro?
I'm doing well, man. We had a great show yesterday with Scott. I know, you know, Dan was supposed to get on today, but, you know, he was dealing with some stuff with his son. Hopefully, he can get some sleep. I don't know how it's like to have a kid, but, you know, hopefully Dan gets some sleep here. But, you know, yeah, we had a great show yesterday with Dan and Scott. That was a lot of fun just talking hoops. I know you're really excited to talk. There's a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend that you're ready to discuss. I see this big, big smile on your face. How's your weekend?
My weekend was good. I'm very eager to catch up with you. Obviously, we've been doing the show now for a couple months. I feel like we have our feet under us with the chemistry. I can honestly say I am very excited to kind of see what your thoughts. And I always love talking about hoops with you. And I was going to say right before we were talking before, to me, and I think this regular season has gotten some slack, I guess, from people with regard. Obviously, there's been injuries, but yeah. I cannot remember a more intriguing regular season where I've just enjoyed every single night watching these games and heading into the playoffs. I mean, this is going to be absolutely awesome in both conferences. Just so fascinating. I'm so excited for the playoffs and to see also how these seeds start to shake out.
Yeah, I mean, every single day, these – playoff seeds are changing, especially like below like the three seed in both conferences, both the Western and Eastern Conference. So I think, you know, like we said, it's going to go right down to the wire at the end of the season, probably on the last day, and we find out where some of these teams end up. I mean, if the playoffs started right now, I think the Lakers and the Clippers would be matching up in the first round, which is as the 4 and 5 seed, which is crazy, right? I don't think we would have predicted that at the beginning of the season, but yeah, I mean, like I said, these seedings are going to keep changing, and we have a lot of stuff to get to, so let's get into it.
Yeah, exactly. So quick plan for today's show. We're going to catch up on news and notes and obviously look at some of this playoff picture in both conferences. So we'll start with that, because that can kind of last for a couple days. Then we're going to we'll go into the daily fadeaway. Do we have a new one for today, Muaf?
I can scrap something up, but we'll see.
We can also recap how some of them have been, because have been some against Houston team totals that have been very enticing. Then we're going to get into the prop shop, and then we will look at Tuesday games and best bets for Tuesday. So if you're listening after Tuesday, you'll have plenty to get you through up until when we start the games. And if you're listening on Tuesday, obviously those will be towards the end of the show. Let's get right into it, Muaf. I think we got to start with the Lakers. I mean, nice win against Denver last night and kind of a grinded out game, which brought the Lakers back into the five. And now we see the Clippers, Lakers in the 4-5. Obviously, the Nuggets and Clippers are tied for the 3. But, you know, I think that, and I know you have some thoughts on LeBron. I have to say, I think that Rich Paul and LeBron James are, and this is a little bit of a conspiracy hat, doing an absolutely masterful job of playing the media like, you know, just playing into the media, getting these narratives out there and setting up one final push for LeBron to challenge MJ's legacy. I can't see this any other way. And I think some people are starting to get duped into thinking that the Suns or the Jazz could come out of the West. No way. I think that LeBron is fine. I think that the Lakers are going to be fine. I still think this is Lakers or Clippers, no doubt about it. Obviously, there's been some turbulent times. We can talk about that a little bit, but the way I'm looking at this right now is that LeBron James is setting us all up for, you know, this absolutely epic final title run where he can show he's still the best player in the league.
Yeah, I mean, a message you got, you and Dan last night on Slack, and I was talking about why is LeBron complaining about the play-in tournament when we talked about on the show yesterday, is that a year ago that he was all for the idea of having the play-in tournament, but now that your team is sucking without you, before you got injured, your team was a top two team in the Western Conference. And since you got injured, they've dropped all the way down to now the 5 seed, you know, yesterday, the 6 seed before the victory over Denver. Why are you not holding your teammates accountable for their play and not maintaining the level of play, at least being in a top 4 seed while you were gone? Right? How come he's not holding his teammates accountable? And I know there's a significant drop-off without LeBron and AD, but you're a championship team. You have coaches on your staff that should have made the proper adjustments, but they haven't done that. And now LeBron wants to go to the media and say, hey, this play-in tournament is stupid, and whoever came up with the idea should be fired. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because it feels like that he's just kind of making an excuse. And I know or one of our Slack guys, Terrell, was tweeting about, I think, the Knicks yesterday. And then I had mentioned something about the Lakers that, you know, against the Lakers, I think the Knicks have a game against the Lakers here coming soon. I was like, that's going to be easy victory for the Knicks. And then I told him that, I think, you know, who knows? I think the Lakers are going to be a first round exit.
You still think that?
I still think that. I'm probably the stupidest person or crazy person thinking that. But you know what? I think this might be a first round exit depending on who they match up with. I think anybody in that top 4 wow. seed outside of Denver, I think has a good chance of beating the Lakers in the first round. I mean, I'm not going to fall into the narrative like LeBron said that he had his ankle injury and that it might affect him for the rest of his career and that he's not going to be 100%. He's not going to be 100% health for the rest of his career. I mean, bullshit. Come on, you're LeBron James, and now you're just coming up with these bullshit excuses just because your team is sucking this season. So I don't know. I think it was a good victory for them last night. It was a grounded out kind of game.
Without LeBron.
Yeah, without LeBron, obviously. But I think those are the type of games that they're going to have to win. Outside of LeBron and AD, this roster is pretty shitty if you kind of look at it, right? I don't think Kyle Kuzma has been the guy to step up for them when LeBron was absent. How come he wasn't doing anything when LeBron was absent or AD was out, right? You have Caruso, KCP, you have all these other guys, but I don't think it's enough. I think these other teams have gotten better outside of Denver. I mean, I think Utah, Phoenix, and the Clippers all have a chance to knock them out either whenever they match up, whether it's the first round or the second round.
All right. So I'm glad that we disagree on this, because we obviously see it differently. What do you think that the series price would be if it was Lakers Nuggets in the 4-5 in the first round?
I think the Lakers probably be around -400 or -500. You think?
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say -450. So
yeah, without Jamal Murray, and I think they a lot. I don't know if it was. They lost somebody last night too. I don't know if it was PJ Dozier or somebody else that kind of limped off the floor for the Denver Nuggets last night. But I mean, yeah, I think Denver will be out of the first round because of all the injuries that they're dealing with. But I mean, I don't know. I'm just not sold on this Lakers team and the way they're playing right now. Hopefully, I don't know how long LeBron's going to be out again, because they say that he either had ankle soreness or re-aggravated the injury. But I don't know if this team can flip the switch in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, so with LeBron, they said it was not a re-aggravation, that he's going to be day-to-day, but he probably will not play back to there. Obviously, the schedule is getting tight here now to finish things up. I think mm-hmm. with LeBron, yeah, you know, it's definitely – there definitely were some – I mean, the Lakers don't really have any excuse, right? I mean, they have LeBron and AD. I agree with that aspect. But I do think that AD needs to be more aggressive and get back to being the player that he was in the playoffs last year when we were talking about AD as potentially – a top five player, and a guy who, if you play Anthony Davis at center, that is literally the perfect lineup because of everything he can bring on both ends of the floor, how he can switch, get on the perimeter and block shots, and then offensively space the floor and be aggressive. So I think with all these centers, they've kind of gotten carried away from that, which is that their best lineup in the playoffs is going to be LeBron at the 4, AD at the 5 with three shooters, whoever is going hot that night. KCP obviously probably being one of those.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's hard to say, because right now I certainly agree with you. They're not playing like a team that is, you know, a bona fide championship favorite. They're not, you know, showing that right now. I still think that they will be able to flip the switch, but that is, you know, speculation on my part. Like you said, there's no reason to believe it other than that LeBron has done this in his entire career, and he's had this kind of mystical ability to, you know, play through injuries and not get hurt, and then obviously be this incredible playoff player. You know, do you think that they end up with a 5 seed there? They're a half a game up on Dallas and a full game up on Portland. And I do want to say, with regard to the play-in, I mean, look, every playoff spot, you have to play into it, right? I mean, you basically, if you want, like you were saying, if you want to be higher up in the standings, then have a better record. So, you know, I don't really see his argument with regard to that. But, you know, what do you think happens here between Dallas, Portland, and LA down the stretch?
So quickly looking at the schedule for Portland, right? They have the 7th hardest remaining schedule. So they still have matchups against the Jazz, the Suns, the Nuggets, and the Lakers. And then the Lakers also have 7 games left, and they have to match up against the Suns, the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Blazers. So, you know, I think it was a tough loss yesterday for the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah. I had them as my best bet yesterday, but, you know, maybe being on a back-to-back and on the road kind of caught up to them. I think Lakers probably end up in that. I think that 5 spot, I mean, they have a game lead on the Portland Trailblazers. So I think it's going to be a first round matchup, obviously, with either the Clippers or the Nuggets. Obviously they would prefer playing Denver Nuggets and getting into the second round. But, you know, I think that five spot is probably a solid spot for them. They're not going to get any higher because they are 6 games behind the Clippers. So it almost seems like that, you know, that 3 and 4 is going to be a battle between the Nuggets and the Clippers on who wants to play the Lakers in the first round. And then after that, you know, it's kind of wide open.
Yeah, I mean, you'd obviously much rather be the 3 at this point between Denver and LA. So I like that there's the motivation to win instead of lose. You know, I think if you told the Lakers that their road was going to be Nuggets without Jamal Murray, that they were going to be the 5 seed, but then their road would be Nuggets without Jamal Murray and then the Utah Jazz, who I do not think they're afraid of at all. I don't think anyone's afraid of the Jazz, really. So, that's not too bad of a road for them. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen here. Obviously, we can kind of zoom out to the rest of the conference a little bit. The Warriors are now in the 8th spot, so that'll be really fun to see them in the playing game. Excited for that. And then, did you get a chance to watch that Nuggets Clippers game at all on Saturday night?
No, I didn't get time to catch that one.
Yeah, very great game for the Nuggets. I mean, the Clippers, obviously Kawhi working back into the lineup now, so we'll see how they go. Yeah. They were a little bit flat. I thought Denver kind of was a more competitive team. I really do like this Campazzo Dozier starting backcourt for the Nuggets. Obviously, you don't have the same firepower with Jamal, but they're a really good defensive team now, and they're kind of playing well together. I think they still will have a lot of questions at the end of games, where Jamal Murray was obviously a killer, so they're going to miss him there. looking forward to getting Monte Morris and Will Barton back healthy for them. That'll help them. Obviously, Will Barton, your nemesis. Any other thoughts on the Western Conference? Obviously, Phoenix has been playing well of late. They had some big wins. Dallas kind of up and down, but they're still kind of where they need to be. Any other thoughts on the West?
Yeah, I think just depending on when Donovan Mitchell gets back, I think Phoenix probably ends up with the number one seed here. I know they have some tough games. I know they're right at 8 games left. They do have still matchups against the Lakers, the Knicks, the Blazers, the Hawks, and the Warriors. But I think Phoenix ends up with the number one seed. They play Cleveland tonight. But I feel like that'll be a huge accomplishment for the Phoenix Suns from their playoff drought now going into this season and finishing as a number one seed. So kind of look for Phoenix to, you know, be that, have that, you know, target of being the number one seed in the Western Conference as we, you know, wind down the season here.
Yeah. And I totally agree. Absolutely massive leap. And, you know, I think people are trying to get Chris Paul in the MVP conversation just because basically everything about that team is the same and he came in and elevated them so much. I think there is a good case that obviously Chris Paul has been great and his availability is so impressive for a guy his age. I think he's only missed, what, one or two games the entire year. CP. So if they do, I mean, look, I don't really know who I'd rather, but if it does end up being Portland and Golden State, I don't really know who I'd rather play. I mean, Portland's probably a better team, but do you really want to face Steph and Draymond right now? I mean,
yeah.
The thing about the West right now is that I don't think anyone's really afraid of anyone. I mean, outside of the LA teams, because they do bring LeBron and Kawhi to the table. I mean, if Golden State goes into a series with the Jazz, I think Golden State feels very confident they can win that series.
You think so?
I think so. I don't think anyone fears Phoenix or Utah or these upstart teams. I think they don't have the cachet of, you know, beating you over and over in the playoffs, right? I mean, they've never eliminated anybody, really.
Yeah, I mean, the game completely changes when you get into the playoffs, right? The intensity goes up. But, I think for Phoenix, at least when you have a guy like CP3
Phoenix, on the court, I think I'd be more afraid of them than Utah.
Yeah, you always have a chance. But, you know, Utah is another team, you know, going back to last season in the bubble where they pushed, you know, Denver to 7 games. I feel like they have this chip on their shoulder where they're going to come out to prove that they're one of the more, if they're an elite team in the Western Conference. But man, like you said, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, these playoffs this year is going to be really, really exciting. Nobody's going to be afraid of each other, at least in the Western Conference. But yeah. I can't wait, man. I really can't wait.
And you know, Utah has to prove podcast hosts like me wrong who doubt them. but I will say with regard, I think you're right that Utah and Phoenix are better teams than Portland and Golden State. But Portland and Golden State would both have the best player in any of those playoffs here between Dame and Steph, which is one thing you do have to consider. We do have to get to a break and then to the Eastern Conference, but I want to throw a question at you. Who do you think is a better playoff player this year, Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker?
Man, that's a tough question. I probably have to go with Donovan Mitchell, right? Just because of the success he had last season in the playoffs. Like, he has that experience of being in a playoff game, right? In a playoff series. He's done that. You know, he's been in the playoffs. I think this is the first time for Devin Booker to being in the playoffs. So maybe, you know, the game is different in the playoffs. We know that the intensity is up. I think just because of playoff experience, I got to go with Donovan Mitchell. We saw at the beginning of the season where he was coming in is that he has a chip on his shoulder. Donovan Mitchell has a chip on his shoulder that he's going to be out to prove that he is a top elite player in this league. And, you know, we've seen this on this with his TNT interviews with the crew at TNT is that, you know, he's kind of like, all right, you know, I'm going to prove you guys wrong when it comes to the playoffs. So I'm gonna go with the Spider on this one, just because it is Devin Booker's first playoff series, you know, in his career.
Yeah, Donovan has done it before. Obviously, he had big playoff series both times he's been there. Obviously, been the best player on the Jazz for two playoff runs. I mean, last year was absolutely insane. I mean, I think Jokic is a non-ability to get out and guard the pick and roll last year really helped Donovan. Obviously, no one could put up 50 like it's easy, but I think Devin Booker, he hasn't been there before, but there is kind of the idea that his game will really translate to getting tough buckets in the half court where he can just be that mid-range lethal scorer when you need one. I think Donovan is much more of a guy who can operate in space, you know, run that high pick and roll with Rudy all day and then, you know, pick you apart for three and a half quarters. But when you come down to the end of a game, I think Devin Booker is going to be lethal. And he's obviously shown that throughout his career, he can be that guy who gets tough buckets, kind of that Kobe Bryant type game.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's definitely an interesting question. That's it for the Western Conference. Let's take a quick break here, then we'll come back and we're going to talk about the East a little bit. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games with generous promos, odds, and parlays happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. All right, coming back off the break, I did not get a chance to listen to yesterday's show, but I do want to talk about that Nets-Bucks game from Sunday a little bit. Did you guys break that one down?
We didn't.
Yeah, so what were your thoughts on that game? I have a lot of – that was a great game, and the subtext of that game, kind of Giannis out there with definitely something to prove, and the Nets kind of just daring him to shoot was just a fascinating, to watch for kind of the competitive underlying aspect of that game. So what were your thoughts on that game and kind of what'd you come away with from that matchup?
I think kind of coming out or zooming out from that game is anytime I'm watching the Bucks, you know, and I'm watching Giannis as their best player, I just keep thinking to myself, if Giannis had a consistent jump shot, where would he be as far as his career as a dominant player? Like, we know what he can do getting to the basket, finishing around the basket, laying it up, dunking the ball. But when teams are daring you to shoot from the mid range and from the 3-point line, I just keep wondering, like with Giannis, if he had a jump shot, what type of player that he could become and go to even another level at where he's at. But, you know, kind of going back to this game that we saw on Sunday, Kyrie obviously struggled in that game. Right. And I think that one of the reasons that they brought over Jrue Holiday is to, you know, keep up with elite point guards like Kyrie Irving. We kind of look at what the game was, you know, just kind of looking at the stat box. Kyrie Irving, 8 of 21 from the field, only 20 points. But I keep thinking is that they didn't have James Harden in this game, right? And if they had James Harden, what kind of game would this be? Brooklyn got off to a very hot start. They were up in that first quarter by 9 points. They scored 37 points in that first quarter. But then I think the Bucks made the adjustments in the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, obviously for the rest of the game, on how to kind of attack this Brooklyn Nets defense and go from there. Because again, the lack of presence that the Nets did not have for this game really let Giannis do what he did against the Bucks. Sorry, against the Nets on Sunday. Almost dropped a 50-point game against him. He had 49. Chris Middleton had a great game for them also. He dropped 26. And then they obviously, you know, they shot the ball well, shot 41% from 3-point line. Didn't get to the free throw line as much as they probably wanted to. But again, they got a big victory over the Brooklyn Nets on their Sunday. I know they play again tonight. We'll get to that in a little bit. But again, for this Brooklyn team, you keep thinking that they're missing two key guys. Again, number one, James Harden. And then having Claxton back, I think, in that interior, it's going to make a difference, right? Because he's their most, I think Steve Nash said that probably their best interior defensive player, right? And he can really defend the paint. And then he can also get those lobs from Kyrie and James Harden and finish around the basket. So having those two guys, I think it's going to make a significant difference for the Brooklyn Nets.
You absolutely made my day by being the one to bring Nick Claxton into the conversation, because I was going to bring him up. And I totally agree. And I think for the Nets, I mean, I think this game can go both ways. I think the Bucks obviously have to be happy with the way they played, and they kind of showed that they were able to match Brooklyn bucket for bucket down the stretch. And Giannis played really well. Mm-hmm. And Giannis, Chris, and Drew really looks cohesive as a big three. They all kind of bring something different to the table, which is much different than Brooklyn, where they kind of trying to beat you with just sheer talent of the big three, but they don't necessarily complement each other as well. But I also see how the Nets can walk off. They were walking off the floor, high-fiving each other. They say, we're good. I mean, plenty of in-and-out buckets in the fourth quarter that I thought could have changed that game. I mean, they got good looks. So I think both teams got to be happy, obviously looking forward to seeing tonight. It looks like the injury report's pretty clean, so we should get another good one, which is really exciting. You know, in terms of the X's and O's, I thought very obviously the Bucks, Brooke Lopez is no longer going to close games for them, you know, against a team that's not Philly, right? I mean, PJ Tucker obviously is absolutely vital to this matchup. And if you're Brooklyn, I think you got to have a little bit of regret of not going to get PJ just because having to go against him makes it so much tougher because he can switch on to anybody. He was bothering KD. Obviously, KD was still lethal, but you could tell that matchup is going to be, you know, a big one in the playoffs if they meet in the 2-3. Offensively for the Bucks, yeah, Giannis was making shots. I still think Brooklyn's got to be kind of happy. I mean, I thought Giannis did a good job of kind of getting a little bit closer to the basket, getting in a mid-range, posting up a little bit more so he wasn't just taking those pull-up threes where it's like, okay, we're daring you to shoot, and he doesn't really know if it's going in or not. Yeah. He did obviously hit those in this game, but that's going to be Brooklyn's plan. DeAndre Jordan obviously couldn't really handle Giannis, and then Blake couldn't really handle Giannis. They were locked off on shoot. I think they went a little bit too aggressive with the let Giannis beat you, because – if Blake Griffin's guarding him and he was just pounding him into the post and, you know, getting to baby hooks and layups and that kind of thing. So I think they kind of have to do a little bit more against Giannis than just let him beat you. Cause like you said, I mean, he doesn't have that necessarily in his bag, but he can still get in the paint. Once he's in the paint, he's obviously a lethal offensive player. So I thought they were a little bit too conservative with regard to that. Nets offensively, the ball wasn't moving as much late in game. I thought Joe Harris was open on a lot of those late game possessions where it was just KD and Kyrie going to get their own. And obviously James will do the same, but yeah, you bring up James Harden. I mean, they're going to have James Harden or Kevin Durant on the floor at all times in the playoffs, assuming health. And then that basically guarantees you a great offense. So, you know, there's not going to be that, like you said, that second quarter lull when the Nets only scored 22 points in the second quarter. I think they will kind of solve that when Harden gets back. Just a great game, though, and I love the intensity of in this. If this is a match, it's going to be a phenomenal playoff matchup we get in the second round.
Yeah, I think two things to kind of wrap this up is, number one for me is that it took 49 points from Giannis to win this game by only 3 points. I think that kind of speaks volumes to me. You know, if you told me that my superstar player is going to score 49, I would expect at least a double-digit victory here. So, you know, are we going to expect Giannis to score 49 or, you know, 40 plus points to beat this Brooklyn team? If that's what it's going to take, I'm not sure if I like Brooklyn's chances there, but you need some of these other guys to step up, right? I mean, Chris Middleton still had a good game. He scored 26, Jrue Holiday, 18 points. You know, he was a defensive force in that game, kind of, you know, making things tough for Kyrie, but you need someone else to kind of step up, whether it's a DiVincenzo, who was 0-for-5 from the field. You know, Brooke Lopez, 2-of-7, 0-of-3 from 3-point line. So that was one takeaway that I had. And then you take a look for the Brooklyn Nets. I looked at the box score after the game. Kevin Durant, 40 minutes. Kyrie Irving, 37 minutes. So we kind of talked about how maybe the Nets were being a little cautious with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving as far as minutes being played, or more so Kevin Durant. But he comes out and plays 40 minutes. If he can consistently do that in the playoffs, and I think he will, because it is the playoffs. If your guys are playing, you know, 40, around 38 to 42 minutes a night, it's going to be very tough to beat this Brooklyn team. Because again, they're missing one of the best players in the league in James Harden. And like you mentioned, they're going to have either two of these guys on the floor at the same time. So I'm excited, man. This is again, a game here tonight between these two teams. And then again, in the playoffs, if these two teams match up, it's going to be a great, great series.
Yeah, I love the spot that the Bucks are in. Just nobody cares about them in the regular season. It's crazy how we go through these cycles with a team where they're fun, and then if they don't win a chip, then it's like, okay, then they're the enemy. I think the Bucks are kind of in that enemy role right now. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to give them respect. And with Giannis, they're daring him to shoot, and it's kind of that personal little beef. And he's obviously a very different type of player than the guys the Nets have. So I love that game. Let's bring Philly into the conversation. And I came away from that game thinking there's no way that Philly is as good as either of these teams. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And I really think that Philly is a tier below both Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I think just going off of the last two games for the Philadelphia 76ers, for them to be in San Antonio, we talked about this a little on the show yesterday, was that the Spurs didn't have DeJounte Murray, they didn't have Jakob Poeltl, they didn't have DeMar DeRozan, and yet they let the Spurs hang around. At least in the fourth quarter, they let the Spurs come back, force overtime, and barely beat the San Antonio Spurs in overtime. They got the victory, okay, but now you had a back-to-back situation yesterday, where almost yesterday even, they let the Chicago Bulls without Vucevic and Zach LaVine hang around, but they kind of pulled away at the end and got the victory. But, you know, for me, as we're watching these games and as bettors and you know, as podcasters, we talk about hoops, is those are the type of games that the Sixers need to blow guys out so they can rest their starters, especially when you have injury-prone guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. God forbid if something would have happened to Embiid in that overtime game or Ben Simmons in the overtime game, they would have probably been kicking themselves. But, you know, for the Sixers, they need to take care of these teams early and shut the door on them and let your guys rest, because when you are going to end up probably as a number one seed in the Eastern Conference, you're going to need those guys to be at their best to take on some of these other teams. You know, and if the playoffs started today, if the Sixers won their first playoff series, they would be matching up against the New York Knicks in that second round. That's not going to be an easy out for them, right? I'm really excited to watch this New York Knicks team in the playoffs, because I'm watching their games every single night, whether I have a bet on them or if I don't, I'm watching this New York Knicks team. They're a lot of fun. But, you know, the Sixers, I mean, you're right. I think it's Brooklyn Nets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and then the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers for me.
Yeah, and obviously the Sixers, let's talk about the Knicks a little bit after this, but the Sixers, they will be favored by double digits in the rest of their games other than at Miami.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they should get this one seed most likely. It's Houston, New Orleans at home, Detroit at home, at Indiana, okay, maybe like a seven-point favorite, at Miami, that'll be a close game, then back-to-back at home against Orlando to close the year, who will surely be tanking. So the one seed looks like it's theirs to lose. You know, Brooklyn, yeah. Brooklyn was there for a second, but obviously with all the injuries they've had, I don't think they actually expected to get it. But yeah, let's talk about the New York Knicks. I mean, what they're doing is just ridiculously impressive. Continue to win ball games. Obviously, just huge win last night against Memphis to start off this road trip, because the schedule is an absolute gauntlet, but they're winning games. 4-point underdog last night going into Memphis, second night of a back-to-back, and win that game by 14 and absolutely frustrate the hell out of the Grizzlies, which we haven't seen a lot. Ja Morant was ejected. Taylor Jenkins was ejected. And this Knicks team is just so much better than the sum of its parts. It's really incredible the job that Tom Thibodeau is doing with this Knicks team. I mean, I was talking to a friend about this last night. When you list out the names of guys on this team, Nerlens Noel, Reggie Bullock, Alec Burks, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Elfrid Payton, I mean, these are journeymen who could not crack a rotation in other places. I mean, aside from Derrick Rose, like Alec Burks has been bouncing around the league for 9 years. He's a key cog on a 37-28 basketball team that's playing some of the best basketball in the NBA. Taj Gibson, I mean, just this guy was out of the league coming back. He's an absolute stud defender, plays his role, plays hard. Obviously, RJ and Julius are continuing to play well and get better, both of them. Julius Randle's three-point shooting, I mean, at what point do we declare the sample size big enough? I mean, he's shooting 42% from three this year, knocks down an absolutely clutch step back going to his right last night to put that game away. And they're in the four seed right now. Look, the schedule still remains really, really hard. They go at Denver tomorrow night. Denver obviously coming off a loss, then at Phoenix, then at the Clippers, then at the Lakers. So they got to find a way to maybe go 1-3, 2-2 there. You know, I think they could probably can do better than that. But, you know, obviously all these teams are still trying to compete for playoff position as well. Then they close out with three decent games at home with obviously Boston in the last day of the season, which could be a really important game for playoff seeding. So, you know, what do you kind of think about this Knicks run and between New York, Atlanta, Miami and Boston? This race for the 4-5 matchup is just really fascinating.
Yeah. No, like I mentioned, I'm watching their games every single night, whether I have a bet on it or not. But I think what for if the Knicks were going to make the playoffs, they had to do what they are doing right now, right? Or they won what now? 13 out of 14, 14 out of 15, something like 13 that.
13 out of 14, yeah.
Yeah. So for them to be able to do that and be in the position that they are for the playoffs, I think it speaks volumes to what Tom Thibodeau has done. And I wish, I know we had talked about this maybe a couple months ago. Said I wish I would have grabbed some Tibbs Coach of the Year when it was hanging around 11-1 or 12-1. And I think that he's kind of closing in on being a co-favorite or like second favorite to win Coach of the Year. Right now I see Monty Williams as the favorite, and then it's pretty neck and neck between Thibodeau and Quinn Snyder for the second favorite. But I mean, like you mentioned, like if I told you coming in at the beginning of the season that Julius Randle was going to be your best player and this team somehow in the Eastern Conference was going to be the four seed at this point of the season, I think people would have laughed, right? Yeah. Because you take a look at some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference with the Brooklyn Nets, Sixers, Bucks, you know, Miami Heat, Boston, those are the teams that we kind of thought would be at that top four, top five range at this point of the season. But for this team to perform that the way they have, man, it's been fun. And I'm sure you're excited as a New York Knicks fan. And I mean, like you mentioned, a lot of journeymen on this team, guys playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Yep.
And a blue collar coach like you have with Tom Thibodeau has formulated into a huge success for this team. And you know, I hopefully they will finish strong here. I know it's a very tough schedule for them, but they keep surprising us every single night. Last night, I didn't understand why Memphis was favored. So I did also have a bet on the New York Knicks last night, at least in the first half. That cashed fairly easy. But some, like you said, some intriguing matchups coming up, and it's going to get a little difficult for them, but we're really going to find out how good of a team this is now that they're playing some better, competition in the Western Conference. I think they can beat Denver. You know, I feel like Denver might fall off a little bit here because some of these injuries are kind of piling up. You know, Phoenix will be intriguing. Do you have the two LA teams? I think if they can get a split there somehow, they'll be okay. And then, like you mentioned, the last three games with San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston, if they can get two out of three there, they'll be in great shape going into the playoffs. But if I had to vote right now, I would probably give Tom Thibodeau the Coach of the Year. Monty Williams has done a great job for the Phoenix Suns, rightfully so. But I think when we talk about the New York Knicks, kind of the America's team of basketball and the Mecca and New York City and the Madison Square Garden, for this team to be back in the playoffs, it's going to be exciting. And I think a lot of the superstars have come out and said that when the New York Knicks team and their basketball team is good, it's great for the NBA. And it's going to be exciting to watch on a Sunday afternoon NBA playoffs at Madison Square Garden. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's been and there's really no wrong answer with Coach of the Year. There's been a lot of really good coaching jobs, you know, Tibbs, obviously Nate McMillan in Atlanta. We could talk about him a little bit. Monty Williams, Steve Nash, I would even say how he's managed everything in Brooklyn. You know, Quinn Snyder, Mike Malone, Ty Lue, a lot of good coaching jobs this year. So obviously Atlanta with that big win last night against Portland, that was really big for them. Miami also starting to turn the corner a little bit. They've won three straight and they've won seven of their last 10. There is still two games remaining between Miami and Boston. They're in the 6-7 right now, so that'll be fascinating. Any kind of prediction as to how this will shake out with a 4-5, 6-7 in the East?
I mean, I would have to get into look at some of the schedules for this team. I quickly had the toughest schedules left. So we talked about Philly, how they have the easiest schedule remaining. Boston has the third easiest schedule remaining.
Okay.
And
they're in the 7 right now.
Yeah, and then you have Atlanta. I think that's at number 6 with the easiest schedule. And then Miami does have a tougher schedule than those teams. They still have two matchups against Boston, like you said. They still have Philly. They still have Milwaukee. And they have Dallas tonight.
Okay.
Two easy opponents where they should take care of business will be against the Detroit Pistons and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, I mean, at this point for, like, those teams that are below, like, those top three teams, I think they're just going to fight to at least just get into the playoffs and we'll just see what happens when they go from there. Right. And then I don't think that any of those teams that are 5, 6, 7, and 8 have a chance to be 1, 2, or 3. I think it's just going to come down. I think we'll see a Milwaukee and a Brooklyn Nets Eastern Conference Finals, which will be exciting to see. I don't see any team in the Eastern Conference that'll be able to beat at least those top three teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to be in the four, or you really want to be in the 4 or 5, right? Because then you can at least make the second round. You know, because if you're in the 6 or 7, you're going home in the first round, probably in 4 or 5 games. So that is going to be really interesting to follow. That is almost 40 minutes on the playoff fixture. Let's take a quick break here, and then we will come back with some more picks for Tuesday nights. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is also brought to you by Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes 3-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is so straightforward and discreet, guys. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED, and it's happening right here. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month of treatment. All right, coming back off the break, Munaf, do we have anything with regard to the daily fadeaway that we want to discuss? I'm trying to see if any of our teams are in action tonight that we can get some team total talk.
I think one team for me might be the Cleveland Cavaliers here tonight. They're on a 6-game losing streak here, but they've been giving up the points. You take a look over their last two games. Against Washington, they gave up 122. They gave up 124 against Miami. Now you have Phoenix coming in tonight. Everybody's playing. They're going to be hungry for a W to keep up in that Western Conference playoff picture, or for the number one seed, sorry, half a game behind Utah. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, those guys should feast tonight. And I was really surprised to see this at 115.5. I locked up the first half team total for the Phoenix Suns, and I'm also taking the full game because I just don't see how the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be able to slow down this Phoenix Suns offense that is on fire right now.
Yeah, I like that. And obviously Cleveland now only a half a game back on the Magic and the Pistons, back with regard to that, to the tanking battle. So if you're Cleveland, obviously, I think you're starting to wrap it up a little bit here, especially after everything that happened with Kevin Love. So I do like that. None of our other teams are in play, although I will say this Golden State New Orleans game looks like possibly a team total game. Any thoughts on that game with regard to a potential fade of the Pelicans defense or the Warriors defense?
Yeah, they played last night, right? And I think the Warriors dropped, I think, 120 something points last night. So I think this might be a good revenge spot or for the Pelicans to come out and play better basketball here tonight. I just don't think they shot the ball well last night against the Warriors. I think the Lonzo Ball had a really rough game shooting the ball last night. He was 3 of 19 from the field. Other than that, I think that was pretty much it. James Johnson, 3 of 10. 5 of 25 from the three-point land for the Pelicans. So I think that should improve here tonight for them. I think if you like Pelicans to bounce back tonight, their team total is probably a play on the board. They did end up still scoring 108 last night by shooting 5 of 25 from the field. Obviously, 32 free throw attempts helps that number, but they should definitely have a better shooting night here tonight against the Golden State Warriors. So that might be another play that you might want to take a look at for tonight.
Yeah, and obviously – I think the Timberwolves will have to be off this list. They've been really kind of playing hard as of late. So we had them on the daily fadeaway. We had the Rockets, who are not in action tonight, and the Magic, who are not in action tonight. Those are all teams that we were looking to fade with team totals against. So we will see how that kind of progresses. And obviously, as we get towards the playoffs, there's not going to be as much, blind fading to do with all the motivation kind of squared up. So let's go into a new segment for tonight. This is Tuesday, May 4th, games. Munaf, let's enter the prop shop. I know you have some plays for tonight. How was that intro to the prop shop? Did Dan have anything special for it?
No, he didn't. He said he's going to be trying to work on something for the prop shop. I know, putting up those little audio clips that we do on Twitter. So he's going to try to do something with that, something exciting. So, you know, it's great to have another segment or, you know, on the show that kind of gives out some picks. But they'll kick off the prop shop tonight. I'm going to go back with Giannis tonight. In two games against the Brooklyn Nets this season, he scored obviously 49 on Sunday. And then in the previous matchup earlier this year, he had 34 in that game. Currently, his points is listed at 31.5. Like you mentioned, I don't think they have anybody to kind of stay in front of Giannis on the Brooklyn Nets defense. You know, DeAndre Jordan's not going to be able to do that. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be matched up on him. And if he is, I think, you know, Giannis has enough strength on his body where he can just kind of back down a skinny little Kevin Durant in the post at least and get his points that way. So I'm going to go with Giannis over the 31.5 points tonight as my first player prop here.
Okay, I like that. I only have one, and I'm targeting the exact same game as you. I'm going to go with Joe Harris over 2.5 threes for tonight. Got up 5 attempts in that first game, and I look at this box score for the Nets. I don't really think it's how they want to play. Going back to that game on Sunday, you had KD taking 33 shots, Kyrie taking 21 shots, no one else over 10 field goal attempts. Obviously, Shamet got them up, and DeAndre Jordan, 7 field goal attempts, Blake Griffin, 8. But Joe Harris, 35 minutes, only 5 three-point attempts, went 1 of 5. I think he was open for more. But his ability to shoot the ball, I think, will be something the Nets look at tonight. I think this could be a big night for the Nets supporting cast. Kind of Steve Nash, he's handled this team the right way all year. I think they kind of try to go back to a little bit more of a democratic approach on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. I think KD is smart enough to see that. So I will go Joe Harris over 2.5 threes. That is -115 for tonight.
Okay. Did you see anything on Haliburton? I think he's going to be obviously out tonight with the injury that he had.
It was supposedly not as bad as initially feared. No ACL, okay. But he's out, I presume, for the rest of the year.
Yeah, okay. So with that being said, Sacramento is playing OKC tonight. You know, one of the teams we've talked about fading, at least, you know, either player props or team totals or full game total. But I'm going to go with Buddy Hield tonight over the 20.5 points. If Harrison Barnes isn't able to go tonight, I'd still see that he's listed a game time decision for the Sacramento Kings. He's going to have to take on the scoring role here tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And 20.5 for him is a little conservative for me. Without De'Aaron Fox, no Tyrese Haliburton. And if Harrison Barnes is not able to go tonight, I think that scoring load or that pressure will be on Buddy Hield, and I think he'll be able to exceed that tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I'll take Buddy Hield over the 20.5 points tonight, matching up against the Thunder.
All right, there we go. I do not have any other plays. Do you have any more you want to throw out?
Quickly, just want to do mention Chris Middleton maybe tonight. I know when we see these games with some big totals that, we kind of look at points props or, you know, maybe assist props and things like that. Chris Middleton tonight, I see him at 21.5 in two games against the Nets this season, 26 and 25. So one of those two guys obviously probably should hit the over tonight if it's Giannis and Chris Middleton. Both of those guys went over their points total on Sunday. So I think if the defense is focused in on stopping Giannis tonight, that should open up some opportunities for Chris Middleton to knock down shots and things like that. So I think that was the other one that I had on my list. But other than that, that was it for tonight. But quickly, I just really wanted to mention, I did have Russell Westbrook last night.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know if you saw his stats last night. I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy, you can't set a total on his points and rebounds at least high enough for someone to not take the over. I mean, a 20-20, you know, triple double for him, you know, a point, 21 rebounds, 24 assists. I mean, I don't know even what to say about Russell Westbrook. we at least as a fan, when since I've been watching, I've never seen this. We've heard about what Oscar Robertson used to do when he used to play the game, and Magic Johnson, but with Russell Westbrook, like putting up 21 rebounds, 21 assists. I know it was against a bad defense last night, and we saw almost close to 300 points in this game. But for a NBA player to go out and do that, it was just simply incredible to see. And you know, I'm glad that Russell Westbrook, at least he's playing well and has his Wizards team in a position to get into that play-in tournament. And it'll be interesting to see if they get in as the 8 seed.
Yeah, it's obviously insane game for Russ last night. Let me read off the stat line just for Pester. And obviously a 154-141 game. Russell Westbrook took 8 shots, 14 points, 24 assists, 21 rebounds. And I just love that. I love a stat line with the assists when they're crazy high and the points aren't that high. Like my favorite stat line is like a 7 points, like 14 assists or something like that. It's, I think, always really cool. Like a Facu Campazzo, Jason Williams type stat line. So, I mean, yeah, shout out to Russ. Obviously, crazy game. And then you look at the Wizards. I mean, they are going to be in the play-in game. I think they're probably the favorite to come out of that, other than the Boston-Miami team or Atlanta or New York. I mean, between Charlotte, Indiana, and Washington, who would you take to get in?
Man, I think that's tough. I think that if the pace, it depends on how severe the injury is to Malcolm Brogdon's hamstring. But when you have a Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal backcourt, you always have a chance every single night. I would probably give the edge to the Washington Wizards just because of the way they're playing basketball here towards the end of the season. They could have easily mailed it in and kind of shut down Westbrook and Beal for the season if they wanted to, but you know, they're still playing hard. Those guys are competitors. They're going to get into the play-in tournament, and hopefully we can see those two guys in the playoffs, you know, give fits to at least some of those top teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think it's probably the Wizards too. Obviously, like you said, the health of the Pacers will be interesting. And then with the Hornets, no update on Gordon Hayward recently, right? I haven't seen anything. I thought he was supposed to come back, but they obviously need him.
They said they were being more cautious, or they're kind of taking their time with it, but you don't have that much time left now with about 2 weeks left during the season. And if you're going to make a push for the playoffs, or at least a play-in tournament, I think, you know, now would be the time to kind of bring them back. But good news for them is that they got LaMelo Ball back the other night, and he's back to being LaMelo Ball. I mean, he had this crazy underhand pass, like 60 feet down the court, and that was crazy to see. But good to have him back on the court.
Love LaMelo. I mean, obviously a lot of tangents that we can go on, but what are we doing with Rookie of the Year? Is it Ant or is it LaMelo?
I think with LaMelo back, I think it is him, right? Especially if his team's like contending for a playoff spot and they're still in the fight for that play-in tournament, because Minnesota, they are playing hard, like you mentioned, but nowhere near to making the playoffs. They're more than likely headed for that for a lottery ticket in the draft coming up. So currently looking at the Charlotte Hornets right now, they're sitting at that 8 spot, 2.5 games behind the Boston Celtics. So they're right there in that tournament. I think because of the play of what, you know, LaMelo Ball has been doing, for me, it's LaMelo Ball, despite him missing the amount of games that he has.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody was saying when LaMelo Ball went down with the injury, it's like, all right, let's not forget how good he was. And just because he's not playing, he still was that good. And then everyone kind of forgot how good he was. And Anthony Edwards was starting to play better. So it's going to be hard not to have the recency bias of how well Anthony Edwards has played. And, you know, good vibes in Minnesota right now with D'Angelo Russell buying into that bench scorer role, Cat playing better. So a lot of to be excited about. Let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back with the Tuesday night slates. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, guys, you have to check it out. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around. Even better is their NFL Draft Weekend special, where if you sign up between April 29th and May 4th, you'll have a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. When you go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN, you will get $25 free, which you can use to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament. SGP will be running private best ball drafts for all of our listeners as well, so make sure to look out for that. This is a limited time offer that ends May 4th. That's today, guys. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com. promo code SGPN. All right, coming back off the break here, we have a 7-game slate. Again, this is Tuesday, May 4th. The Phoenix Suns go to Cleveland. Phoenix Suns laying 12.5 on the road. Total is 219.5. Munaf, I know you had a first half team total on the Suns. What was that number? And any other thoughts on this game here?
No, quickly. I mean, this is not one of the more exciting games, but obviously if you're a Suns fan, so shout out to McKee.
Yeah.
I like just the Phoenix role here tonight. They should take care of business against the Phoenix Suns. Quickly trying to see that first half team total right now for the Phoenix Suns is at 57.5. So I think they're anticipating more of a high scoring half in the second half. So I would just take the full game team total for the Phoenix Suns at 116. It opened about 115. Now it's up to 116. So hopefully by the time you listen to this, you'll be able to, you know, grab a number on that. But again, like I mentioned, Cleveland has not been playing any defense over their six game losing streak here. And their two games against, at least their two losses recently against Washington, they gave up 122, and then against Miami, they gave up 124. So continue to fade this Cleveland defense against Phoenix here tonight.
Yeah, and if you've been listening to the show, you know that I have a problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I have a cognitive distance between reality and my thoughts on the Cavs. I somehow think of them as this like young, scrappy team who's been like playing really hard and well all year and covering spreads. Meanwhile, they are the second worst ATS team in the league, 24-40 yeah. against the number. And I think I've lost more money on them than any other team this year. So I do like the Cavs plus 12.5, but I will not be pressing any buttons on my computer screen. So this is obviously a stay away. I think, you know, it's a big number. Cleveland lost 6 straight. They're kind of trying to get towards a lottery. And with some of these games where it's kind of unclear if they're tanking, you think they should be, but maybe they aren't. I usually like to stay away. So I do like that idea of the total. I think there could be some points here. So I will tail you on that Phoenix pick with nothing on the spread. Any other thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, did you see some of the reports that were circulating on Twitter about Colin Sexton?
Yeah, I did. And I actually, so shout out, that was taken from a piece by Joe Varden, who does great work. I think he's for The Athletic on the Cavs. And I saw that about Colin Sexton. The report was basically that he is known throughout the league as someone who won't pass, and that during the games, opposing team's defense will call out that he's not going to pass and that he's ISOing and all that. So that can obviously probably be really frustrating for the Cavs. But I also saw in that piece, it is shocking that Kevin Love is on his 9th life in Cleveland with these outbreaks he's had last year. And then they traded Kevin Porter Jr., who is 20 years old and dropping 50 for another team. The way that they handled the two situations is not a good look for the Cleveland organization at all, because Kevin Love is kind of continuing to mess things up there. And Kevin Porter Jr., they cut bait on, and he's now balling somewhere else.
Yeah. You know, we also saw that Kevin Love said that he would love to play for his hometown team in Portland. So they've always been harping that I think Kevin Love would be a pretty good fit in Portland, being a stretch for being a guy that can knock down the 3-point shot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Kevin Love in this offseason. Obviously, his contract makes it really hard for him to trade because he's owed so much money. But I think a huge highway robbery has been Kevin Love taking a paycheck from the Cleveland Cavaliers and playing like a fourth of the games that he's played this season.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, costing me that plus 13.5 cover the other night when he dropped the ball out and gave a wide open 3 for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to Detroit, where the Pistons are executing, in my mind, one of the best seasons of any team in the league this year. I mean, really, I tweeted this out the other night. Just they've been really competitive, and they cover spreads, and they can win some games at home, but they're also, you know, staying to the tank, and they're increasing their lottery odds, but also developing their young players, and Jeremy Grant's look good. So shout out to Detroit. Tonight, they are a 6-point home dog to the Charlotte Hornets on the road. Total at 217.5. The Pistons obviously rested like half their team last night in that big game between the quote unquote big game between the Magic and the Pistons, the tank off. But what are your thoughts on this 6-point number here?
Yeah, I think if they're going to continue to rest their main guys like Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee and those guys, you kind of have to take a look at taking Charlotte here tonight, because Charlotte is obviously still in the playoff chase here in the Eastern Conference, seeing a lot of game time decisions. Only guy that's, yeah, a lot of game time decisions for Detroit. But I think I'm going to go with Charlotte here tonight, because, you know, they know that this is a team that they should be able to beat here tonight, take care of business. And if they want a chance in that playoff picture, this is a game that you kind of have to get tonight against the Detroit Pistons. I think it kind of spoke volumes to me last night, is that they gave up 119 points to the Orlando Magic. Like you talked about, tank job is in full effect for the Detroit Pistons. So I think tonight it will be another one of those situations where, you know, they may be competitive, but I think at the end is where the Charlotte Hornets kind of pull away.
Yeah, this number feels kind of a little short, right? I mean,
yeah,
why not Charlotte minus six? I kind of like that, especially with the Pistons making no bones about the fact that they are trying to, you know, fall their way down the standing. So I kind of like Charlotte minus six coming off a loss. They're right in the thick of things in the Eastern Conference, so that is a little bit appealing. Any thoughts on the total of 217.5, or maybe a Charlotte team total that's at 112?
Yeah, I think that's a little conservative, right? Especially when you gave up 119 to the Orlando Magic last night, but now you're, I think, facing a better offense, obviously, with LaMelo Ball, Scary Terry, Bridges, and Washington. The only guys that are out for Charlotte tonight will be Devontae Graham and one of the Martin twins, but you still have enough on this team to, you know, be able to put up points against this young squad against the Detroit Pistons. So, you know, possibly locks up tonight with Charlotte minus the six and that team total. So definitely keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I think we're talking ourselves into it, obviously, but Charlotte, they've lost 3 of 4. They are right in the thick of things in the Eastern Conference. And remember, making the 7-8 is way better than being in the 9-10, because then you mm-hmm. have to win only one of those two games. So they're a game up on Indiana and still with a chance of getting into the 6 seed. So, I mean, at least the money line, I think definitely the minus six is appealing. The 112 is appealing. So I really like Charlotte in this game. Any player prop action or a total of 217.5?
No, I didn't have a lean on that. Just last note for this game, Charlotte is 6-1 against the spread as a road favorite. So,
damn,
I think that just kind of helps us even more with what we lock with what we like with Charlotte tonight.
Yeah, I was not expecting this to be one of my favorite plays in the slate, but I think it is. Really like Charlotte there. So that will be a interesting one to watch, surely. Not, I don't know if I want to say it's a fun one to watch, but
yeah,
we'll have an eye on that. Let's go to Milwaukee, where it's the rematch of that great Sunday game. And this one should be great, assuming the injury report remains clean. Bucks, 2-point favorite. I believe they were closed at 1.5 in the Sunday game. Do you remember that?
I think it was around, run, yeah, right around 1.5, 2 points.
Yeah, so similar spot. Total up at 241.5, super high total. I know the player props we had for this game, we want to run through those again. I had Joe Harris over 2.5 threes. What'd you have again?
I had Giannis over 31.5 points, and then also take a look at Chris Middleton over 21.5 points.
Okay, there we go. So three player props that we have in this game from the prop shop. Let's get to the side here. I mean, obviously that game ended 3 and it was basically a one possession game. So it kind of shows the caliber of the matchup this can be in terms of being a close game. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this 2-point spread here?
Yeah. You know, typically when we see these 2-game mini series, you always want to kind of take the opposite side that didn't cover that first game. So I think for Brooklyn tonight, if they're going to win this game, it's going to have to be a better shooting night out of Kyrie Irving, right? We mentioned on Sunday that he just didn't have a great shooting night against Jrue Holiday and that Bucks defense, just 8 of 21 from the field, 2 of 8 from three-point land. And then also, like you mentioned, Joe Harris just 1 of 5 from 3. So if they're able to get just a little more out of those two guys, I don't think Giannis is going to drop another 49-point game here tonight. So I'm going to go the other way. I will take Brooklyn tonight plus the 2 points against the Milwaukee Bucks in the second game of this miniseries.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a tough number. I mean, I would put this right at around 2, obviously a one possession game. I would lean towards Brooklyn. I do think with a game like this, with a total this high, 241.5, and kind of the capability that both these teams have on offense, I think what I might just do is wait till someone gets a lead and then take the other team live. I did have that angle in that first game. I was able to jump on the Bucks, I think, plus 5 or 6 when they were down, I think 10, 15 early. So it might have been three or four. But yeah, that is kind of my angle for this game is kind of seeing a lead build. I think there will be one in the first quarter, second quarter, then hop the other side, and then you can kind of keep hopping back and forth. I think there's been a lot of big leads and a lot of big comebacks in the NBA recently, especially with these high totals. Yeah. So that's definitely an angle for this game. I would probably lean towards Brooklyn with the two in that revenge angle, but it's definitely a tough call. Any thoughts on the total at 241.5?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we saw a same total on Sunday. I think it was trending in the right direction, or at least trending going over in the their first quarter. They dropped 65 points and then, you know, 56 in the second quarter, and they kind of tailed off in that fourth quarter where it got a little more competitive. I think if you do like the over, take that first half over, because I think it'll be a lot more loose and free-flowing in that first half versus getting into the second half where they might tighten up on defense if it's a close game. So I think the first half over, the first quarter went over their first game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think it missed by a couple points in that and for the first half total. So I think if you like an over in this game, take that first half over. And then, you know, like you mentioned, if you see both these offenses struggling during the first couple minutes, you might be able to get a better number on the live. So, you know, definitely, I think this is a good game when you have such a close spread and a total like this. I think the live angle will be a great opportunity here in this game.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we should definitely talk more about as we get towards the playoffs, where no one is going to roll over and die in any game. And I think you will see some, you know, as always, you know, 12, 13 point leads in the first half that always get chopped down. It's a great opportunity for live betting. Let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back with the rest of the slate. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is also brought to you by BetterThan.Vegas. BetterThan.Vegas, it's like YouTube, but for what hashtag Degens only care about, and that's sports betting. We're giving out free daily video picks over on our Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They have a ton of free picks and handicappers for you guys to check out. So make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. All right, coming back off the break, let's go to Oklahoma City, where not one of the better games on the slate. These Sacramento Kings are a 5-point favorite on the road in OKC, total at 228. You had a Buddy Hield prop in this game, right?
Yeah, I said take a look at Buddy Hield over 20.5 points. I think the key thing for this will be the status of Harrison Barnes. So I think if he's not able to go here tonight, currently seeing it listed as a game time to this decision, again, but if he's not able to go, I think this will be a big value bet on Buddy Hield. But I think even if Harrison Barnes is able to go, they need that secondary scorer for the second Sacramento Kings. And I think Buddy Hield should have a big game here tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I like that value on Buddy Hield. So that is coming from the prop shop. Any thoughts on the side? Obviously, OKC, I think that was the worst loss in NBA history. Is that correct, to the Pacers the other night?
Yeah, I mean, they gave up 154 points. I think it was the worst home loss ever, I believe. They lost by, what, 59 points?
They lost by 57.
Yeah, 57. So
that's tough. And then obviously they come back with the cover against Phoenix the night after, which I am kicking myself for not kind of identifying that spot, because obviously coming off that embarrassment, they were able to, you know, only lose by 3 to Phoenix. So I wish I had that spread. Any thoughts on this this -5 number? I mean, OKC, I'm assuming, you know, they've been obviously just getting killed recently. So
yeah, this is I don't know, man. This is a tough game to kind of handicap, because number one, you're dealing with the injuries of Sacramento. So we're kind of thinking, okay, do they have enough to kind of keep up with, or, you know, have enough for scoring wise and covering this game on the road? And then you kind of look on the flip side, okay, what's the motivation for the Oklahoma City Thunder? I mean, gun to my head, I would probably take Oklahoma City plus the points at home, you know, in an underdog role. I think these guys, you know, come out and play. Obviously, you still have your guys, your main guys going tonight. You still have Darius Bazley. You still have, you know, Dort, who's still going to be able to play tonight. You know, Moses Brown in the middle. Theo Maledon is still there. So, you know, I think the injuries injuries may catch up for the Sacramento Kings here a little or here tonight. But if you do like Kings, I think this is a great parlay piece with the Charlotte Hornets like we mentioned earlier. So if you do like the Kings, maybe parlay that with the Charlotte Hornets tonight.
Yeah, I do like that. That you know, fade the tank money line parlay, that could be a good angle for tonight. Yeah, this side, obviously, you know, like you said, it's probably a pass on the number of five. Total at 228 is interesting to go over. Both these teams have been liable to have some points scored in their games. The Kings, yeah, obviously kind of a different team now with all these injuries piling up. They don't have, you know, that's like the engines that got them going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we've mentioned, I mean, Oklahoma City not playing any defense, 152 to Indiana, 123 to Phoenix, 115 against Boston with the game that they won, 121, 129. I mean, the list goes on and on for this team. So, you know, the only part that kind of scares me on taking this over is the lack of, like, offensive presence for the Sacramento Kings, yeah, right? I mean, if Harrison Barnes is not able to go or the whatever the case might be, do we trust – DeLon Wright and Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes to kind of carry that scoring for the Sacramento Kings? It's a possibility, obviously, if there's teams not playing defense like we saw last night in Indiana, Washington, but the quality of offense is a lot better between those two teams versus these two teams. But I know, like, I think we have the option of not betting games or not taking bets. I think this might be one of the games where just kind of stay away and just check the box score at the end of the game.
I agree. I will exercise my right to not press any buttons on my computer screen with this game. Let's go to the next game, which should be more fun. Golden State goes back to New Orleans, I guess staying in New Orleans after a 123-108 win against the Pelicans last night. This is, you know, I guess it's a mini series, but a true back-to-back. So different than the Brooklyn Milwaukee where they at least had a night off for rest. New Orleans favored by two, total at 235. Munaf, where are you going with this game? I will. What was the closing number on this matchup last night? Was it the same?
I believe so. Okay. I think it was hanging around the same number last night, maybe a point adjusted or half a point adjusted tonight. I believe it was like 3.5 last night. Let me just double check here real quick.
It was New Orleans minus 1.5.
1.5 last night. Yeah, you're right. It kind of trying to look at what New Orleans does off of a loss. I mean, 16-9 against the spread. I mean, I don't know, at this point it doesn't matter, but I'll take New Orleans in a bounce back spot at home here tonight. You know, no travel, obviously playing the same opponent. You got to find a way to contain Steph Curry if that's possible for this team. There was a highlight that I was watching last night on Twitter that, you know, Steph Curry kind of made this ridiculous three pointer. They're going back down the court and Zion just had this smile on his face. It's like, well, I mean, what are we supposed to do about that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, took a look last night. Obviously, Andrew Wiggins had a big game for the Golden State Warriors. He dropped 26, like I mentioned, 41 for Steph Curry last night. Quiet triple-double for Draymond, 10, yep, 13, and 15. We didn't mention that one. But I think we get a better effort from New Orleans here tonight in the second night of a back-to-back. Obviously, you know, if you're going to lose to the same team two times in a row, it's going to be not sit well with the players and the coach there. But I'll take New Orleans here. I don't know what their motivation is for the rest of the season. Like, do they want to battle to at least put themselves in a position to be in that play-in tournament, or are they just too far out where they just kind of mail it in for the season? But being at home, back-to-back, same team, I'll take New Orleans here tonight.
Yeah, man, this is definitely one you got to wait till the 130 injury report, just because I mean, are you really playing? Like you said, their motivation is questionable, and Zion played 37 minutes last night. Are you really throwing him on a back-to-back? You know, they did play big. Lonzo played 38 minutes. Lonzo was 3 of 18 last night in that game. And, yeah, I mean, if everyone's healthy, probably go with the Pelicans here. Pelicans were 5 of 25 from 3 last night. That's 20%. Meanwhile, obviously, Steph made 8 threes, and the Warriors as a team were very, very good from 2 as well last night. So I will probably lean with the Pelicans. Just got a Woj bomb, Miles Bridges, in the health and safety protocols. So he'll miss tonight's game against the Pistons. So glad we didn't lock that in yet. That number will probably move a little bit. But yeah, for this spot, I will go with the Pelicans minus 2. Any thoughts on the total? 235 last night came down at 231 on the closing of the actual game. You know, I would probably lean towards the over. a lot of offensive potential here, but I do want to get my hands on this 130 injury report and see what the Pelicans are doing here.
Yeah, especially being in a back-to-back situation, right? Like, we don't know, you know, if Zion plays in the back-to-back. What I think the guys will be able to go. I think the question will be for Pelicans tonight, you know, hopefully they have a better shooting night. Like we mentioned, they were 5 of 25 from three-point land last night. So, you know, I think most of that was because of Lonzo Ball, 3 of 18 from the field, 1 of 9 from three-point land. So, Pelicans team total might be worth a look here tonight. I think, like we mentioned, bounce back night, hopefully shooting, going against a, you know, not so great defense. I know Golden State has been playing well, but again, the firepower that the Pelicans have with their two stars and some of their bench guys should be enough to get that over the team total.
Yeah. This would be a fun game to watch at the 8-10 slate. So yep. Competing a little with that Nets Bucks, but looking forward to, obviously, Steph, did you watch any of that, that Marvel broadcast? I didn't look at that. I didn't really know what it was, but I saw it getting some play on social media.
Yeah, I saw a lot of it on social media, and then I think the guys were talking about the NBA Slack channel too, but I didn't get a chance to check out that broadcast.
Yeah, we're not kids here, okay?
Come on. Yeah.
So let's go to the next game on the slate. Let's go to South Beach, where the Miami Heat are a three-point home favorite to the Dallas Mavericks. This should be another really good game. Total at 216. Both teams that are jockeying for playoff position would really like a win here. So where are you going with this spot here, Munaf? This should be a great game.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the better games here tonight. I love Miami here tonight for some reason, and I don't know why that is, but they're playing well, right? You take a look, they've won six out of their last – sorry, Miami's now won, you know, four out of their last five. Taking care of business against maybe some of the, you know, not so great teams in the league, but you have Dallas coming in. I think KP was announced doubtful for this game, so I don't think he'll be able to go. You know, Dallas coming off a really, really bad loss against the Sacramento Kings, where they were just not able to buy a shot. Now you're going up against a possibly a better defensive team than of Sacramento Kings, and for you to only be able to muster off 99 points against a Sacramento team kind of speaks volumes to me, right? So Miami's in a tough stretch here. You know, as you wind down the season, they have Dallas tonight. I mean, a game against Minnesota where they should be able to win. And you kind of take a look at their schedule. They have two against Boston, Philly, and then Milwaukee. So I think tonight's a game that, for playoff positioning wise, it's critical to both teams. I think the number is spot on, but I do like Miami at home minus the 3 tonight. I think Jimmy Butler, Bam, these guys play well tonight at home and take care of business against Dallas.
Yeah, these two teams have met once earlier this year, a 93-83 win for the Mavericks very early in the season. So not much to go off there. That game did soar under the total. So maybe a kind of a slower paced defensive matchup here. So
yeah,
I do like the Heat at home as well. I mean, these two teams seem pretty even to me. I would maybe give a slight edge to Miami if I was kind of just evaluating them. Mm-hmm. So I would go with the Heat minus 3. Kind of like this under 216, obviously a low total, but I do see this game kind of hanging around the low hundreds. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, quickly trying to see where these teams are at over, at least for pace wise, over the last, you know, five games now. Brooklyn, I don't know why I keep saying Brooklyn. Dallas Mavericks are number 15, Miami is number 28. So, you know, two of the slower pace teams, I think you're spot on with that. So, you know, we have lower pace and teams that are playing better defensively should translate to a tight defensive effort here tonight between these two teams. I think the key for me might be are the Dallas shooters going to be able to knock down shots? You know, I think that's one of the things that we're kind of looking at now, especially, you know, I talked about this with Dan and Scott yesterday, is that outside of Luka on this Dallas team, who is like the other guy that can really penetrate to the basket and get their own shot or create their own shot? Outside of Luka, I think the only guy that we kind of came up with was Jalen Brunson. But other than that, everybody else is pretty much a spot up shooter for this team. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that, especially without not having KP for this stretch run, where it's critical to have a guy like that, your second best player, to have him. As you kind of wind out the season, you're kind of fighting for playoff positioning.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the second part of that. I mean, what is going on with Kristaps Porzingis? I mean, he's just like his availability is so bad. It's really, yeah. It's stunning. I mean, is this going to be this every year where he's a questionable basically every game and you don't know his status going into playoffs? I mean, he was supposed to be, you know, the Robin to Luka's Batman. And like yeah. you said, it's kind of just Luka right now. And heading into the playoffs, this team, I mean, you don't really know what you're getting from anybody other than Luka on any given night. So that is the fatal flaw with this team, right? I mean, if they had a reliable number two to go along with Luka, they remember they were a dangerous team. They had a chance of beating the Clippers in that playoff series and faded away once Kristaps started to fall apart health wise. Mm-hmm. So Jalen Brunson, I think, is the guy they kind of identify that can be that, but I don't think he's at that level yet that, you know, you need to be a high seed in the Western Conference. So
yeah,
they will have to address that this offseason, bringing in more alongside Luka. You need a secondary playmaker, right? All these great teams have multiple guys that can run a pick and roll, that can run an ISO, that can go downhill and sort of start things off. And I think with Luka, it's really hard on him to keep this up. And yeah, I mean, did you see that article coming out about Kristaps and Luka and how they're coworkers, but they're not friends?
Yeah, I think that interesting. I saw that. But and then Mark Cuban said something like yeah. that. You know, you could have great respect and work great with, you know, coworkers at work, and you don't have to go out with, you know, hang out with them after work or going to dinner and things like that. But no, I mentioned this yesterday. I think it's time for Dallas to kind of move on from KP, and you need to get help for Luka, and you don't want to waste his prime years. The scary part for Dallas is that Luka hasn't reached. I don't think he's even reached his prime yet. He's what, 22?
Not even close. 20, he's 21.
Yeah, 23. I think. Yeah, years old. So it's going to get scary. But I think, you know, Mark Cuban in that front office is going to get some help for Luka. And you know, imagine a guy like Bradley Beal next to Luka. I think that would, you know, put them at least as a top four team in the Western Conference. And then if they address their interior presence, I know we're kind of going off the rails here, but something to get to in the offseason. But just quickly want to get your thoughts on that.
No, yeah. I mean, I think definitely Bradley Beal will be an option. I think Spencer Dinwiddie as a free agent could definitely be someone they should look at if he's healthy. I think that would be a nice, you know, more realistic addition that you wouldn't have to give up many assets for. So Dinwiddie's a guy I like for them. And yeah, with Dallas, I mean, I think that Luka is the next Giannis in terms of guy who we all love, and then they lose in the playoffs a few years in a row, and then we start the conversation of, oh, can this guy, you know, win a playoff series? I do think that we are about a year and a half away from everyone starting to turn on Luka. So just like we all turned on Giannis. So it's interesting the way that we kind of run these superstars through the ringer. But yeah, obviously there's just not enough around him to support him to kind of go chase a true contending team right now. So summarize, we like the Heat minus -3, we like the under.
yeah, -3 in the under.
Exactly.
Getting back on track here. Yeah, Miami -3 in the under.
Exactly. Last game on the slate, let's go to Staples Center, where the Los Angeles Clippers are a 9.5-point favorite at home against the Toronto Raptors, who've been playing well recently. Total at 220. Clippers coming off that loss. They got Kawhi back, but lost to the Nuggets. Munaf, where are you going with this game here? 3 straight losses for the Clippers quietly.
Yeah, I mean, like, we like are not even talking about this Clippers team at all. It's like all been Lakers and in Brooklyn and Milwaukee. And, you know, and this is a legit like Western Conference NBA finalist contender. But
probably, you know, like the favorite in the West, right?
Yeah, I think if right now, if the playoffs started,
yeah,
you probably have to put them there, right? And despite, you know, them being 4 games back, but you still have Paul George, who's turned it around this season, and Kawhi Leonard. But, you know, as far as this game tonight, I think they didn't have Kawhi for that New Orleans and Phoenix game, obviously. And then they got him back against Denver, and Denver was in that kind of stretch run where without Jamal Murray, they're playing well. I think this is the game for the Clippers to kind of get back on track tonight. 9.5, I think it seems like a lot of points,
but big number.
And this like Toronto team is like, we don't know what we're going to get from them every single night or who's going to be playing for this team every single night. Kind of want to see here. OG Anunoby, Gary Trent, Fred VanVleet are all game time decisions. I think if they're traveling with the team, they should be able to go up against, you know, one of these teams. I think,
obviously, the Kawhi angle.
Yeah, the Kawhi angle that I was going to get to was Toronto going up against Kawhi Leonard here in L.A. I'll reluctantly take the Toronto Raptors here tonight on the note that if OG Anunoby and Gary Trent, and at least two of those three guys are playing here tonight, I think they should be able to compete against the struggling Clippers here. I kind of do like this over here tonight. I think it's a little conservative at the 219 number. Currently seeing at I don't have it pulled up, but I think last I saw it was like around 221 for this total. So
220 right now.
220. Okay, so it's kind of coming down a little bit, but yeah, I think these are two teams that can put up points tonight. But I will take the Raptors here tonight and the over.
Yeah, why? Take a look at that OG Anunoby game log recently. He's quietly been awesome recently. I think he had six straight games with 20 points coming into that Utah game where he only had 17, but he's starting to kind of pick up the slack where people thought he would be a most improved player candidate. He's been playing really well recently. So if he's in, one of my plays for tonight was going to be OG Anunoby points, rebounds, and assists. He's obviously not. Yeah. He's questionable right now. So if he does go, I will post that in the Slack channel. I think 9.5 is a lot of points here. Like you said, with Toronto, we don't know what we're going to get. 6-4 in their last 10 games. And, you know, they were kind of competing really hard in some of these losses, you know, by 4 to Utah, by 10 to Denver, and then beat the Lakers outright, which was a big win for them. And now against the Clippers, I mean, I still expect the Clippers to get this done, but 9.5 is a lot of points. Potentially some money line parlay action with the Clippers and the Suns, maybe more conservative money line parlay. We got to see what happens to this Hornets number with the Miles Bridges. That's off the board right now. So we'll come back to that one after, but would lean with the 9.5 and no really thoughts on the total.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I think it's always interesting that these teams that have injured players or guys that are resting and sitting out, but as soon as they kind of get to Staples Center and playing these LA teams, and all of a sudden they do want to play because you're going up against, you know, two of the better teams in the Western Conference. So hopefully, you know, we get a competitive matchup here tonight. I think, you know, one of the more better games here tonight. I feel like Toronto Raptors and the Portland Trail Blazers are like the mirrors of each other in each of their respective conferences, right? So that's kind of interesting. But, you know, again, for the Toronto Raptors, obviously not going to make the playoffs this year. Going to be a very, very interesting offseason for Toronto as far as what they do with Kyle Lowry and, you know, kind of addressing their interior position. Quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on, do you think the Lakers are now kicking themselves for not making that trade for Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, I think I saw some tweets about that. I mean, the fact that Talen Horton-Tucker, if he actually was the bridge between that trade not happening and happening, I mean, that just looks like a really bad decision, especially because they need another guy who can carry them in the regular season right now. I mean, for seeding purposes, it's kind of a lost cause now, but they wish they had Kyle Lowry. So that's obviously fascinating. And then if you're the Raptors, I mean, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. So what really was the point of keeping him around? If you could have had some assets, you know, you could have maybe had Tyler Hero or Talen Horton-Tucker, maybe a first round pick. So very curious decision. And obviously you mentioned that the Raptors and the Blazers are kind of mirror images of each other. Mm-hmm. They also made that challenge trade, right, with Norm Powell and Gary Trent.
So, yeah.
You know, kind of more kind of a duality between the two of them. So I think this slate is kind of low key. I mean, Bucks, Nets, Heat, Mavs, those are your two TVs, and that's going to be a great night. So really excited for this one. Let's close up shop here with our best bets on the slate. With Hornets Pistons off the board, that would be one of mine with the Hornets. But obviously, that's off the board. I expect a reopener, maybe 4.5 or 5 with the Hornets.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Miami -3 here tonight against Dallas. You know, Miami at home. Again, the question marks for Dallas is, you know, if Miami's able to shut down Luka Doncic, who's going to be that second guy to step up for Dallas? And I just don't see it. Maybe, you know, it might be another slow shooting night for Dallas, but with Miami led by Bam and Jimmy Butler and Dragic and Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, list goes on for this team. I think they should be able to take care of business against tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. So best bet for me, Miami Heat -3.
Yeah, I hate to jump on the same play as always, but I will go with Miami -3 as well. I think it's a good spot, and it's just ticked up to -115 on my screen. So ASAP would probably be the time to get this one in, especially with the KP news kind of lingering. So I would go with the Heat -3. Yeah, not much else. I mean, I definitely think Bucks Nets is one you want to get in live. And then the Pistons Hornets game, I think Hornets on the number. As long as LaMelo and Terry are going, I think they should be good enough to get up, whether that's 112 points or covering what we expect to be a 4.5 or a 5-point spread. Any other best bets for you, Munaf?
No, that was it. I think we have a double lock on Miami tonight. So hopefully, we know we can kind of tout ourselves on the pod tomorrow. And I quickly just run through the player props again. It was Buddy Hield over 20.5 points, and then either Giannis or Chris Middleton over their point totals here tonight. So those are three bets that I'm looking at for tonight.
Yep. And then obviously I had Joe Harris over 2.5 threes as well. And then I also want to say if OG Anunoby does go tonight, definitely look at him as someone who could put up some counting stats. Really fun show, Munaf. We got through a lot of, catching up on everything and the playoff picture, talking through these games. So thank you all for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this show and all the other shows on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Munaf, where can the people find you on Twitter? I know you'll have some plays up for tonight in basketball and baseball, the hardest working man in the Sports Gambling Podcast Network business.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I know we have a slow night of NBA games tonight, so, hopefully I can catch up on baseball season. But find me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. We have our baseball MLB gambling podcast with my man, Malcolm, Mr. Underdog Locks, giving +200 on the Red Sox and the 14-1 on that Kentucky Derby pick. So find me at SportsNerd824. I will have my NBA total of the day on there. So make sure to follow me there, and you can find Zach on Twitter at
you can find me on Twitter at NBA Zach B. Please join us in the conversation on our Slack channel. That's sg.pn/Slack to sign up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Good luck to everyone with your bets tonight, and have a good one. Basketball.